So I just had the craziest thought, and I'm going to see if she remembers this. But Monique, I just had a raw conversation with Charles Johnson IV, whose wife Kira died at Cedar Sinai here in Los Angeles some years ago. There is a federal investigation now into civil rights violations of black women at Cedars, specifically in childbirth. They let his wife die. And it was a harrowing and raw story that Charles just shared with this audience. I'm looking at a number of messages right now. And one of them says, which is funny, we need some Monique and Daddy after that raw conversation. We need some Monique and Daddy after that raw conversation. But I'm laughing, and Miles didn't know this because Miles has never heard this story. My board op, who chose that song from Jill Scott. The last time that I saw you and Jill Scott together, I bumped into y'all. I'm going to see if you remember this. I bumped into y'all at Cedars one day. It's when Jill was pregnant, and she was apparently doing her checkup, and you were with her that day. I bumped into you and Jill in the hallway at Cedars. Do you remember that?
Yes.
How crazy is that? How crazy is that, man?
Now, I don't know if you remember this. I got one for you. Mm-hmm. Remember when I bought the babies?
Yes.
And they were on babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you, I said, Tavis, I had Jill Scott on Golden while I was delivering these babies.
Mm.
So to hear that song, and then you say, you know, being in Cedars, it's like, okay then. It all ties together.
No, that's too much. I mean, I'm that's almost scary that I'm talking to Charles about his wife dying at Cedars. The last time I saw Monique and Jill together, I bumped into them in the hallway at Cedars. I have a great picture of Monique's babies when they were just babies. I'm holding them in my arms. Got a great photo of me holding those babies. And while she's going through her delivery, she's playing Jill Scott. I mean, it's just all too much, Monique. It's too much, girl.
It ties all in together. It always does.
Yeah, it is.
Tavis Smiley.
I was trying to get to that. hey, Monique, how you doing and how you been? And how's Daddy?
Daddy is amazing. And I've been absolutely wonderful. Baby, you know that make me blush now. I can't take it.
Yeah, I know. So let me just say this. Speaking of, since we just name dropping Monique, Jill Scott, let me name drop again. So a few weeks ago on this program, I had Don Lemon, and we were talking about, you know, all of the drama in his world, the Elon Musk stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But he was on just as he was dropping his conversation with you, as the audience may recall. So he talked about how thrilled, how honored he was to have a chance to talk to you and Sid about a number of issues, but primarily this issue of pay equity. And he made the point to me, Tavis, when you see the interview, which I've now seen, when you see the conversation with Monique, you're going to hear Monique talk about something that she raised eons ago, many years ago, that people are talking about in real time because Taraji raised it. Taraji P. Henson raised it when the Color Purple film came out, and that is this issue of pay equity. So let me just start. I don't need, if you want to see a great conversation with Monique about this issue in greater depth, check out Don Lemon's podcast, a conversation with Monique about this issue. It goes on for a while, and you can learn a great deal more. But my question simply is, how did it feel in that moment to see the country talking about this issue of pay equity in the context of which Taraji raised it? And I ain't hating on Taraji, but you had raised this issue eons ago. How did you process that moment?
Well, you know, Tavis, I had a lot of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that one thing about us as a community, we continue to repeat history.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to do the same thing because people were saying, Monique, how do you feel that Taraji said it and Taraji got attention for it? And I said, well, I'll tell you how I feel about that. When you see a fat black woman and a black man standing by her side and they're standing with their back straight up, they're standing with their chin up, and they're saying this is unacceptable, it's received differently when you see a black woman that is broken and there's no one by her side. And let me be clear, I love Taraji. That's my girl.
Mm-hmm.
But the attention came when you saw a black woman bent over and broken speaking about it. And now it's, well, now let us pay attention. So oftentimes in our community, it is the messenger. And if the messenger does not look like what we think it's supposed to look like, we won't hear it until someone comes along and we say, okay, now we can accept that package.
It's going to be rich. It always is when Monique shows up. I ain't got out the first segment yet. We just getting started. So it's going to be an amazing hour. And I'm hearing myself laugh. I'm hearing Monique laugh. I hope I hear you laugh as well. We need some of this after that last hour. I look forward to the rest of this dialogue with Monique when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
Who do you trust to get at the truth?
Tavis Smiley. Smiley.
That's who. The conversation continues right now.
You can trust me to get at the truth, but I don't know truth tellers who are more courageous than Monique. And I'm always, always delighted to be in conversation with her because she's going to give you the truth. No chaser. That's who she is. That's her image. That's her brand. And I love it. I love it. Let me speaking of image and brand, let me circle back to the point you made a moment ago about why Taraji talking about pay equity got such pickup, such traction when it perhaps didn't get the same pickup and traction when you and Sid raised this issue a long time ago. And here's my question, and I want to ask it broadly, give you as much canvas as you need to paint. What have you learned over the years in this business, and for that matter in life, about image and acceptance? Image and acceptance, Monique.
That's a good one, Tavis. To say what I've learned is you got to be okay with you. You've got to be okay with that person. When you look in that bathroom mirror, you've got to be okay with that person looking back, because if not, there's no solid foundation and you will fall for anything because there's no foundation that's going to hold you up. Mm-hmm. So for me, with my 33 years in this business, I had to be okay with that little fat black girl in that mirror looking back.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I tell people now, you know, it's like, make sure you have your priorities straight. Make sure that it's not entertainment, then family. Entertainment, then this, then that, then family, because you'll lose. And in a lot of the stories that I've written about the sisters that came before me, all of them, Tavis, all of them left this earth broke, brokenhearted, and by themselves. So we're in an industry that if you don't, for me, I'll say this for me again, we're in an industry that if you don't have somebody to go home to, if you don't have something that you're going home to that says this is the priority, baby, Hollywood will take you away. Would they say, cow gonna take me away?
Hollywood will take you away.
Baby, take you away. Do you hear me? Yes.
You know, I was thinking last night, this thought came to me last night, and I've been blessed to be in your friendship circle for many years now. I'm humbled by that every time I think about it. But I was thinking last night that it is amazing that you find laughs in anything, that you find humor in anything. Given your backstory and all that you've endured, all that you've had to go through, the upheaval, the truth-telling, the pushback, it's funny to me that you find anything funny, that you find humor in anything these days, Monique.
Tavis, you have to, because I don't know when my turn is coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And when my turn comes, I don't want to have a nasty-ass attitude mm-hmm. when I get to the next place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I'm serious. I tell people, you better live today like it's going to be your last one. That's why I love laughter. I love to laugh because, again, when they call my number, baby, oh, when they call it, they're going to say, wait a minute now, tell her she can't cuss when she get here. Tell her she cannot cuss when she get up here. But me and God got a special situation. We got a special situation. He already know. Like, leave her alone. Her heart is pure. Let her go.
I'm laughing because you when you said live every day like it's your last, I remember the first time Quincy Jones, my dear friend Q, said to me many, many years ago, Tavis, live every day like it's your last, cause one day it will be. And so I take that advice. Let's talk. I'm going to talk about a lot of things in this hour, but talk to me about what it means to be on a comedy tour right now. I read somewhere where you have called this the greatest comedy tour of your career thus far. If that statement is true, what makes this the greatest thus far?
Well, let me say this. When you are in the presence of legends and icons, but everybody acts like it's their first time. Everybody has an attitude of gratitude on this tour, and to be able to grace the stage with Mark Curry, Tommy Davidson, Zoo Man Miller. Now, Zoo Man Miller, I met Zoo Man Miller when I first got started, Tavis. When I knew Zoo Man Miller, we didn't have, no, I had a baby and I had my first husband, but he didn't have any children, no relationships. So to see these people now, and we've all survived it, and we're all still looking healthy and good. And to walk into arenas with 12,000, 14,000, 16,000, and they're up to the rafters. And they say it starts from the head, right? If the head stinks, the body stinks. But if the head is on good, the body is on good. Cat Williams is one of the... Cat Williams is going to go down as one of the greats to ever do it. And I say, for as funny as Cat Williams is, because he's brilliantly funny, Tavis. Do you hear me?
You know, I know
that it. That little 5'5", 10-foot giant is, I mean, he pee-pee funny. He pee-pee funny. However, his heart is far bigger than his funny.
Yeah.
So imagine that you're dealing with one of the greatest ones to ever do it, but the heart of that man, it blows you away. So when I say it's one of the greatest tours, it is. And listen, the craft services. Okay, I've got to talk about it, Gavin. I've got to talk about it.
The craft services.
Listen, when you go back in craft services, her name is Chef K.
Yeah.
Now, normally when you do a tour, you might have some baked chicken, okay?
Uh-huh.
Some fried chicken, some string beans, little potato, and some bread, and a little fruit tray. That's what you're going to get. This tour, you have oxtails, pork chops, lamb chops, baked chicken, fried chicken, jerk chicken. You have steak. You have lamb. Listen, it is a holiday every time we go. Every time we go. So to see that and to walk out on that stage and be received by your people in the way that they are receiving us, it is the best tour I've been on thus far.
I want to talk about a couple of your interviews since I last saw you in a moment. I teed up a moment ago your conversation with Don Lemon. But since you went there, let me follow you, as I will and always do when you come on this program throughout the hour. When I saw, as we all did, Cat Williams on Club Shay Shay.
Didn't he do it?
Oh, my good Lord, did he?
Did he do it? Look at my little twin brother right there. Look at that, my twin.
When I saw that Negro on Club Shay Shay holding forth, I told everybody one thing, and I've been proven right on this. And I'm not making any assertion or statement, and certainly not casting any aspersion on anybody that Cat went after. That's Cat stand up, not Tavis Smiley. That's his truth, not Tavis Smiley. But follow my point. I told everybody I knew. I said, not one of them Negroes is going to come for Cat. Not one of them is going to mess with Cat. Because one, if you're telling the truth, then the truth don't need no defense. And it's hard to push back against anyway. But secondly, Cat ain't just funnier than most. He's smarter than most. People don't know Cat is literally a tested genius. He's Mensa level. Cat is Mensa level genius. And it's hard to come for a Negro who was funnier and smarter than you. So I knew that for all that Cat said, there wasn't going to be a whole lot of fallout. And I've been proven right about this. All those persons he went after, ain't most of them had much to say. They leaving Cat alone. That was my read of that. What was your read of it?
Hey, Tavis.
Mm-hmm.
You know why we've been friends for over 25 years?
Mm-hmm.
Because we be reading the same thing. We read the same books. We turn the page the same time.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw that, I was so proud, right? Because I had never seen anyone that was not wavering. He wasn't flinching. He was saying, this is just what it is. Mm-hmm. And when you know somebody is punching you in the mouth like that with the truth, you're absolutely right. They knew better. They knew better. Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, I can't go up against that because all he's speaking is the truth. And for some of them that I did see do interviews, I heard something of this. Oh, it was funny to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't pay no attention to that. Oh, because you know the moment you begin to speak, now you're going to start trapping yourself because in my humble opinion, there was nothing that 5'5", 10 feet giant was saying that was not true.
When I saw that, I said, these Negroes don't want none of that smoke. They don't want none of that smoke. They're going to leave Cat alone. And for the most part, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They didn't want that smoke, baby.
Yeah, they didn't want that smoke. They left that little Negro alone because you don't want to tussle with Cat. I can tell you that. So after I see Cat on Club Shay Shay, I look up a few weeks later and Monique is on Club Shay Shay. How did that happen for you?
Club Shay Shay called.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, we would love to have a conversation with Monique, and I said we would love to do it.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened. And you know, I want to say this for Shannon Sharp. Because I hear some people saying, he's not a journalist. Mm-hmm. He never said he was.
Yeah.
He never tried to take claim to that. What that brother has developed, in my humble opinion, is a safe place. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to go back and forth because this is your story to tell. It's your story. So I appreciate what that brother's doing. Is he going to have some kinks and some hiccups? Of course, we all do. But give that brother his fair chance. So I say, Shannon Sharp, you keep going, baby. Keep on doing Club Shay Shay.
Mm-hmm. So I was with Dr. West not long ago, Cornel West, who obviously is on the campaign trail running for president. But he and I were together a few days ago. And your name came up. He said, we should call Sister Monique, Brother Taz. You know how Doc is. Brother Taz, we should call Sister Monique. We should call Sister Monique. So I put out my phone and I called Sister Monique and it went straight to your voicemail. So you were tied up otherwise. And I didn't leave a message, but he and I called you a few days ago just to holler at you and we ended up missing you. But your name came up in this conversation because Dr. West was saying, as he is fond of saying, and listen to this is Cornel West to the core. He was saying that the condition of truth is to allow the suffering to speak. The condition of truth is to allow the suffering to speak. And if nobody tells the truth, if nobody has the courage to tell the truth, then the suffering gets rendered invisible. So the condition of truth is to allow the suffering to speak. And he was saying, to quote Cat Williams and my sister Monique, this is the year of telling the truth. And I tease him. I said, you're the only presidential candidate who's going to be quoting Cat Williams and Monique on the campaign trail. but I put out my phone to call you anyway. But your thoughts about truth and truth telling in this current American moment.
It's necessary. Because I think that, and when we say America, okay. I think about our community and I think about the crisis that we're in. And I think about the destruction and the demise of us. And I think that what happens is because we are afraid to tell the truth, because we are afraid to say, this is what this is what happened, this is how I feel, it allows the person, it allows the bully, it allows the predator, it allows them to keep going because they know there's so much fear set into us, no one's going to say anything or no one's going to do anything. That's why when you do have people like Cat Williams and people like Monique, they look at us like we're strange because they're looking at us saying, why are you going against the grain? You know, we just let them kick us in our behind. Mm. You know, we just let them exploit us. Why are you doing anything different? So that statement is so true, Tavis, because we've been trained and conditioned to suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. That goes all the way back from slavery. Mm-hmm. We never lost it. We never dropped it off. So, and I'll say this, when you can hear a Black man on audio saying, I mistreated you, you hear it. It's not AI. It's nothing made up. Mm-hmm. However, some in our community still don't want to accept it. It's like you will not take our hero from us. You will not put us in a position where we have to really see the reality of who someone is. And I had an interesting conversation with our sister, Sherry Shepherd. Mm-hmm. A very interesting conversation. And she said to me, she said, Monique, not every Black woman agrees with you. I said, I accept that, but could you please tell me what it is that they don't agree with? And she said, well, it's your personality. And I said, well, what is it about my personality? And then she said, well, you know. And then I said to her, Sherry, this is why we as Black women suffer so bad, because you can't give me answers to what you're saying to me. And then she said, you know, you and your husband, y'all forced Tyler Perry to say that. And I said, Sherry, because you think that way, this is why Black women are not only at the bottom of the totem pole, we're under it. We're under it. So we are so afraid, Tavis, of that thing called truth. We're afraid of our heroes not continuing to be our heroes. We're afraid of the unknown. Because when you really say, I'm going to be free, that's scared to a lot of people. What does it mean? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what does it mean? What, finish your, give me that question right quick. What are you going to say?
What does it mean to be free?
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. And we're going to come to that. We're going to talk about what it means to be free. We're going to talk about the argument that some people try to make. And I've heard this more times than I can count. It ain't your truth, Tavis. It's the tone. Oh, really? It's not the truth, it's the tone. Okay, Negro, I'm not buying that. That's a bunch of nonsense, but okay. We're going to talk about that dichotomy of truth versus tone. And I want to ask Monique just point blank whether she just ever gets tired of climbing up the rough side of the mountain. I mean, it's like every time you see Monique and Daddy, they climbing up the rough side of the mountain. And I say that lovingly. My point is that there are consequences for telling the truth. There's pushback for telling the truth. But do you ever just get tired of cutting against the grain, to use her phraseology? More with Monique when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
What's your quarrel with the world?
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Smart talk for curious people just like you. Just like you. You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and Monique, who is on tour, comedy tour once again, and she's called this tour the greatest tour of her career thus far, and I think it's because of the craft services. You can't complain about craft services, as she described it earlier. That may be why it's so great. I'm just teasing. It's the people she's hanging out with on this tour, and she shouted them out all out earlier, and I'm just, again, delighted and humbled, as always, to be in conversation with Monique. So there are a few things you said moments ago that I want to sort of interrogate. Let me start with this notion of freedom, because you left us with that question. What does it mean to be free? And that's a powerful question. I've made a distinction in any number of speeches that there's a difference between being free and being liberated. They're not exactly the same thing. That's a philosophical conversation for another time. But to your question of what it means to be free, my response to that question, which you did not ask at all rhetorically, is that for me, freedom, by any other definition, means that you have the capacity, the courage, the conviction, the commitment, and the character to always speak your truth. I said it to somebody the other day, Monique, that there are really two kinds of people. Either you run in scared or you run in free. I'm just putting it out there. Every Negro I know is either you run in scared or you running free. And you can't convince me that you're running free if you don't have the courage, the conviction, the commitment, the character, the composition to speak the truth. As the Bible would say, in season, out of season, but to speak the truth. That is what freedom is to me, to always have the capacity, the agency, to use your agency to be truthful, to speak your truth. That's my take on freedom. What's your take on it?
I absolutely agree with that. And I know some billionaire Negroes that are still running scared. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with money. It is the mentality. It is the mentality. So I know some really, 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 really rich folks just in money, but they bankrupt in their spirit. Mm. They bankrupt in their soul. So for the babies that's listening, just what our brother just said, listen, you got to be able to stand regardless of what you think the consequences might be. Mm-hmm. The consequences are going to be what they are. However, you are free when you can look at yourself and say, I have no regrets.
Yeah. That leads me to the other question that I said I wanted to pose to you directly, which I will do now, which is whether or not you and Daddy ever get tired of cutting against the grain. You ever get tired of always climbing up the rough side of the mountain?
So I'm going to answer that in two parts, okay?
Okay.
I remember some years ago, my husband said to me, he said, Mama, would you rather go up the rough side of the mountain or the smooth side of the mountain? So my answer was, I'd rather go up the smooth side of the mountain. He said, well, if in the event you have to start falling down, you slide straight back down to the bottom. Mm. But when you're on the rough side, in the event you may slide down, you got something to grab back on too. So for us, you know how you feel like you were made for this? Mm-hmm. We were made for it. Like when I read the stories of the sisters that came before me, some of the things that they say or experience, I'm like, I've walked that walk. I've been on that journey, but not afraid to go into the door that's closed.
Yeah.
That's
great. No. We talked also, and I want to, you know, extend this conversation about truth versus tone. I have heard this line more times than I can count. If I had a dime for every time somebody tried to tell me it was my tone, I'd be independently wealthy. And my retort has been, I mean, for all the years I was on BET and Tom Joyner, even through the Obama era and since then, I tell folk, my tone ain't changed in 30 years of my career. Like me or loathe me, love me or hate me, my tone has always been the same. I don't have but one tone. This is it. I'm going to tell you the truth as I know it, and I'm the first to admit that I don't have a monopoly on the truth. I recognize that there is the truth and there's the way to the truth. And some folks just own their way to the truth that you and I may already know. And we got to be humble enough to understand that, to accept that, and not judge people in that regard. They just ain't got to the point of understanding the truth that we understand. But that does not absolve us of our responsibility with humility, with love, to share the truth that we do know. But I can't stand that argument. When people try to tell me, it's your tone. I don't like that, Monique. That's just me.
That's slave talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's slave talk. That is our brothers and sisters that still have those chains on them that we just can't see them, but they are still mentally in chains. I've had people say that to me. Well, it's just the way you went about it. Well, how do you say somebody's raping me? How do you say somebody's exploiting? Yeah. How do you, yeah. What do you say? Excuse me. Can I just tell y'all something for a second? No, I'm like, we've been so used to bowing our heads and putting our eyes down that when I've had black women say to me, well, it's just the way you went about it. Well, what tell me how you would have gone about it. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, no. What would you have done?
Mm-hmm.
So when people say it's our tone, that's when I say, please get away from me, slave, because you're slave talking to me right now.
Please get away from me, slave. That's funny. I may have to borrow that line, Monique. Could you please get away from me, slave? Just back up off me, slave.
Harriet Tubman would slap them in the mouth. And you know what they say? Harriet Tubman never lost one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she had to take a few of them out.
Well, you know the story. This is true now. When Harriet Tubman freed those enslaved Africans, those enslaved black people, she had two items with her. She had her Bible and she had a gun. She had to use both. Sometimes she opened the Bible and she just read a scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Sometimes you just need a scripture that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes you just need a scripture. And then there are some Negroes who need to be introduced to Smith and Wesson, right? So she used both of them, Monique, the Bible and the gun. So I guess if it worked for Harriet Tubman, I guess it works for us too, or can work for us.
If I were Harriet Tubman, then a part of me believed that I was, Tavis, okay? I believe that I was Harriet Tubman at one time in my in one of my lives, okay? And here's where I knew that I had her DNA in me. Remember the movie Harriet that came out?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. This is when I said, listen, y'all, we've got to tell the truth when we're going to tell our stories. At the very end, when you see Harriet Tubman with that white man,
mm-hmm.
don't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, y'all, that's not the truth. That black woman would have blew his head off because she knew you're going to go back and terrorize my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, no, that we got to rewrite that. I want to play Harriet Tubman. I'm putting it out there right now.
this is your field. You've been in it 33 years, which I want to talk about when we come forward. But this is your field, and that's what they call creative license. And that annoys ain't a strong enough word. It angers me sometimes when you see stuff like that, and you know how that got approved. You know why it got approved, because that is the way that Hollywood wants to tell that story.
Right. Right. It's like, listen, if we cannot tell the truth to it, y'all, when we allow that to happen, we are changing the face of our story. We're changing our story to appease people to say, oh, that might be offensive. You damn right it's going to be offensive because it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's meant to offend. It is meant to show people to say, look what we had to deal with. And it is meant to show us, look at our strength and how we came through. And I don't think that's what some people want us to figure out or know.
No, two of my least favorite Hollywood words, creative license. More with Monique when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
Interrogating and unpacking.
That's what we do around here.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley. Let's get back to more of Tavis Smiley right now.
Monique, I was just going over some notes last night prepping for our conversation, and I about fell out of my chair when I realized that your Academy Award for Precious, your amazing performance, that was 2009.
Yes.
That's like, I'm like, man. It time flies. That's all I'm trying to say, I guess. Time flies, man. 2000. Does it seem like that long to you?
No, it doesn't. It's like, for real?
Yeah.
It's been that long.
I know. 2009. That cracked me up. You've been at this, as you mentioned earlier, for 33 years. 33 years in this business. And I guess my question is whether or not, with all that you have now in the rearview mirror, and I want to close our conversation in a few minutes back to this comedy tour, but on balance, has it been 33 good years? I mean, Jesus, of course, they crucified Jesus at 33. We ain't gonna let them do that to you 33 years in. But you've been at it 33 years. Has it been worth it for 3+ decades?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, because I've had people ask me that based on what I've gone through in the last decade,
mm-hmm, right?
Right. However, I enjoy the business of entertainment. I've enjoyed every, people say, what's your most favorite thing? All of it's been my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Every TV show, or every movie, all of it has been my favorite. The only part I do not like is bad business in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's the part I don't like. That's the part that's unacceptable. That is the part, because people will say, where you been? And I say, guys, it's not like I couldn't have been on TV or in the movies. I just can't accept what they're offering.
Yeah. Speaking of bad business, is there any movement at all on your case regarding the Parkers and the way they have not paid you what you deserve and have earned over the years?
I appreciate that. It's doing what it needs to do. That's what I can say.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's doing. I'll say this. We're not backing down. We're not backing up. Countess Vaughn and I deserve what we signed up for. We're just saying, give us what we signed up for. We're not asking for anything more.
Yeah.
But give us our part of the ownership that we own in the Parkers. That's all we're saying.
Well, when you said we ain't backing up, we ain't backing down, I was thinking you could say less. I know that part. say less. I got that figured out already. When we come forward in our remaining moments with Monique, we'll circle back to this comedy tour that she is starring in and starring on right about now. And I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm telling you who it was. It may come to me in a second here. But they were saying they believe that now is a dark time for comedy. It's a dark time for comedy. I want to get Monique's take on that in our remaining moments when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
For all the freedom-loving folk, this is Tavis Smiley.
I feel like freedom.
He's rooting for everybody black.
Everybody black. Black.
More of Tavis Smiley coming your way right now. Right now. Right now. Right now.
More of Monique coming your way right about now, at least for the next 4 minutes before we wrap this conversation and today's show at the top of the hour in 4 minutes. So Monique, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I guess I'm having too many conversations. I can't recall who it was, but they were suggesting to me that they think that now is a pretty dark time for comedy. What's your view on the world of comedy in this present moment?
Well, I can only speak for me. There's never a dark time for laughter. Mm. Never a dark time for it. It depends on who you are as the comedian. Mm-hmm. It depends on who you are as the entertainer. But when you come to the Dark Matter tour and you see that from the moment the show starts to the moment the show closes, those people are on their feet. They're laughing, they're hollering, they're screaming. They're having a great time. So I don't think there's ever a dark time in comedy. I think there may be some dark comedians. But I don't think that there's a dark time in comedy. I don't know. Yeah. Not for the real comedians. Not for the real ones, baby.
Yeah. And how would you define the real ones?
Tavis, don't do that. Okay.
I wasn't asking for names. I'm looking for any kind of other trait you want to give me. But it's your question to answer, Monique.
I define the real ones are the ones that don't get caught up in this is a dark time for comedy.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Real comedian, baby. A real comedian can go on stage and talk about a damn hot dog. Okay? Mm-hmm. A hot hot. You remember hot hots?
Mm-hmm.
Where you would boil them and they bust open. It was the cheapest hot dog you could get. But so I think that laughter is truly still the world's greatest medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It is still truly, you can be watching something by your damn self and have an attitude and see something funny and bust out laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So no, I don't think it's a dark time.
I assume I'm closing in the last 2 minutes here. I'm closing where we began. I assume that you still find joy in getting on the stage. And I raised that because I was talking to, again, somebody else the other day. And we were making note of all the comedians and entertainers and others who everybody's trying to get a Las Vegas residency, in part because they're tired of all the touring, all the traveling, all the back and forth. Everybody wants a residency. But I assume all the drama notwithstanding, you must still find joy when you get on the stage, whatever city you're in.
I'm still grateful for the gift.
Yeah.
I like all of it, Tavis. I like the hair. I like the makeup. I like getting dressed. I like all of it because that's what I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed for that baby.
Yeah.
So I never want to be the person that prayed for something and you get it and then you got an attitude with it.
Mm.
So I'm still that old fashioned girl. I'm still that old fashioned, let's go get it. Let's go have a great time. Now, am I getting older? I am. So I have to take that in consideration, too. Do I want to be traveling when I'm 75? Hell no. But right now, at 56, yeah. And I'm in the best shape of my life, let's go get it.
So, but at 75, you have your Las Vegas residency, though, at 75.
Well, I've had my Las Vegas residency at 50.
At 50, so exactly. I forgot about that. You did that already. Been there, done that. Been there, done that.
Now? Okay. Yeah.
such is the life of Monique. I had to check myself where I wrecked myself. She's already had a Las Vegas residency. She's been busy, and she's still busy, and will be for as long as she chooses to be on her terms. And that's what I love about Monique. I say it all the time, Monique. I love you, and you know the rest of it. You can't do nothing about it. I just love you. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the hour.
And please tell Dr. West I said let's go get him. Baby, he'll be the best president that this country can have.
I will tell him. He may have just heard it himself. Monique, thank you. I love you. All my best to Sid, or Daddy, as you call him. Tell him I said what's up.
Okay.
All right, take care. What an amazing show. I thank all of my guests today. Just a powerful, powerful, inspiring, and even funny at parts. So thank you to all my guests, and thank you for tuning in today. Tomorrow's like Friday, so tomorrow's the best of Tavis Smiley. I got a tough decision to make. So many great conversations this week. Wendell Pierce, Monique, Charles Johnson IV, there are others. It's going to be tough picking out three of the best hours of this week. But it's going to be a great show tomorrow in case you missed any of those conversations this week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. And as always, keep the faith.